I got my weight up, flexing on the competition who tried to play us. Now we on, you niggas just gotta pay up, and I ain't done. I'm balling like I lay up, switch flows, switch cars, I switch hoes. My shit goes, I'm whipping the pot like Chris Cole. These diamonds on me just dancing like we at the disco.
What's up, what's up, what's good with it, everybody? We back again for another episode of the Pick and Roll Podcast, and we got a special guest with us. But before we go ahead and introduce him, Sam, what's up?
What's good, world?
Yeah, man, we got Super Bowls on the horizon. It's coming up. It's this weekend. So we figured, why not have a Super Bowl champion on our show? Nobody better than our homeboy, Aaron Dobson. Super Bowl champion, as many of you guys may know. Aaron, what's good?
What's good with y'all boys,
We good, man. We good. It's always good to hear from you, man. We figure we get some expertise and some feedback from you in regards to this Super Bowl and some other stuff that we got to talk about. But first and foremost, we'll go ahead and get into the Super Bowl. We'll talk about that a little bit. I got some questions I want to ask you. First and foremost, I guess the first question that I want to ask you is, for the guys who are new to the Super Bowl, how overwhelming do you think this atmosphere can get for them? I guess out of a scale of 1 to 10, how would you categorize that as being overwhelming?
I'm gonna say 10 off the rip, for sure, just because, I mean, you're going a week before, you know what I'm saying? They already been there for a couple of days now, I think, right? So, I mean, you got a whole week to just really think about it, you know what I mean? You got the whole media showdown, you know what I'm saying? You got a whole bunch of media there. It's just a lot of shit going on. I mean, it's a lot of stuff going on, you know what I'm saying? So, it's a lot of other stuff you can think about.
We don't care about the language and all that.
I kind of caught myself like that.
But yeah, man, I can assume that it would be overwhelming because as a young kid playing football, this is something that you – this is the game. This is what you look forward to. Game, you prepare right, for this exactly. Your entire life. So I would exactly. Definitely say that. That a 10, I would assume that it was a 10, but you haven't been there. Yeah, definitely. Exactly.
You got all the pressure of the game, you know what I'm saying? All of that pressure on top of all the you know what I'm saying, distractions and all the media, everything, everybody being talked about, you know what I'm saying? It's just so much more that goes into it, you know what I'm saying? So, like, this game is, you know what I mean, it's a tough game, man. It's a real tough game. Super Bowl is the biggest game that you ever gonna play in, you know what I'm saying? So I mean, you can
imagine. I think that would be, I guess, tougher for a team like the Rams, seeing as they don't have anybody who's been there,
right? Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? I seen on some media sites where they were saying it was 36 guys from New England that's been in the Super Bowl before to the Rams.
See, that's huge.
You know what I'm saying? That's huge. That's huge.
Sam, what's your take on that, man? I know you're a Rams fan. What you think your boy's going to be ready, man?
I think we'll be ready, but I definitely feel like the Patriots do have the advantage in that aspect. I mean, you can't teach experience. So, I mean, in that aspect, the Patriots definitely have the advantage. I can't even argue with that.
That's a fact. So, is there any questions that you wanted to ask, Aaron?
Not in particular. I really just wanted to talk about, like, the role of the media and that whole week leading up, basically what we was just talking about. Like right. You seen what Roby said about Tom Brady?
Yeah.
Like,
it was something about
yeah.
Something,
right?
But all the analysts was talking about just, like, that's one thing that's hard to get the whole team to do is avoid saying some dumb shit throughout the
– Right, right. So that's one thing – I feel like the coach from the Rams should have reiterated to his team to, like, not give Tom any extra motive. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Because he already, I mean, obviously it's Tom. He already, you know what he's going to do. You know what I'm saying? But just to give him that extra chip on your shoulder.
And
you know what I mean?
Tell he listened to it. Like, after that AFC game, what did he say to the receiver? Like, they say I'm too old. Listened to that shit. He definitely used that shit.
Bro, listen. I done been in there with Tom, bro. Like, he take that shit serious, bro. You know what I'm saying? He's like, bro, the ultimate competitor, fam. Like, it's crazy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, for him to be as accomplished as he is and still as hungry as he is. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people lose that.
Yeah, I heard a lot of people put him up there with Jordan as far as competitive nature. So,
oh yeah, bro, crazy. Crazy and everything, bro. I mean, I can give you examples as far as like in the off season we doing like agility drills. You know what I'm saying? We might do agility drills every off season to see if we improved, if we getting better at it or whatever. You know what I'm saying? He in year, when I'm up there, he might be in year what 15, 14 like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And he really out there trying to beat his time from last year. You know what I'm saying? It's like, bro, you don't even run like that, bro. Why are you worried about that? But that's just the nature in him. You know what I'm saying? That's just what he do, bro. He really work hard.
Yeah, man. I definitely think that was not a smart move. And that also goes into lack of experience, because this is a guy in McVay who's never been on this stage either. So with that being the case, you wonder a little bit, did he properly prepare his players for media day in order to avoid stuff like that? But another question I wanted to ask you before we dive into the Super Bowl itself is, you played for Belichick, which I consider to be the greatest coach of all time. Now, there's been a lot going around saying that Belichick changes his scheme every week for a different team. Is that true? Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Every week, bro. They like a chameleon, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all see it. You know what I'm saying? One week they might come in and run the ball 40 times. The next week they might come in and throw the ball 40 times. You know what I'm saying? It's all depending on who they playing, bro. And that's why they're so good, because they can adapt to
whatever. Is crazy to me for a coach to be able to change his game plan every week just to scheme it against that particular team. Like, that is crazy. Yeah. And
be able to like go out there and
actually put it into effect and be successful at doing that. Like, that is crazy.
A lot of teams got their identity. A lot of teams will be like, this is what we do. You know what I'm saying? We ain't going to change it. This is what we do. This is what we good at. New England, you know what I'm saying? They try to be good at everything. You know what I'm saying? They probably have their things that they're good at, that they're best at, but they try to do everything well, so they can't get caught up. Well, we're just going to take this away and we can't do anything. Nah, they can do whatever.
Yeah, man, that's that's insane. I don't really put it past him because it's Belichick, but at the same time, man, it's still like, that's amazing. But let's jump to our next topic, man. I want to ask you guys who you think the unlikely hero of Super Bowl 52 will be. We'll start off with Sam. Sam, who do you think the unlikely hero will be?
I'm going to go with Big Sue, man. Just because I would love to see – I feel like it would be somewhat of a redemption story for him. Even though he ain't, like, been gone or nothing, I just feel like him making big plays in the Super Bowl would finally give him the positive light around his name for once.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a good one. Aaron, who you got? Who you got for your unlikely hero?
I'm gonna go with the young boy.
Oh, that's what I was gonna say too.
I think he gotta have a big game. I think he has to have a big game on the ground, bro. Like a big game on the ground to give Tom some pressure off of him.
Yeah, I think that's exactly who I had for mine. I had Sony Michel as my guy, and the reason why I have him as my guy is because with a team like the Rams, I feel like you're scheming to try to prevent Tom Brady from just slaughtering your defense. And I don't think that they'll pay enough attention to scheming for Sony Michel. I think that they'll do a lot of schemes for, like, maybe James White off the backfield and this and that. But Sony Michel is a guy who can affect the game in many ways. And it's a guy who's been on that big stage in college. So it's like, I don't think this is something that he'll have to adjust to. I think he'll be ready. And he's definitely my unlikely hero as well. So,
man, Wade Phillips, we leaning on him with some of the little bit of experience that we got on our side. He better come in with some type of game plan for something. Flat out.
I'm telling you, I can just see it. I can see Sony Michel having that type of game to where it's like, damn, Tom Brady ain't even really beat him. Sony Michel was the one that beat him. Right. I can see that happening.
Right. And, I'm an upset fan.
What I do like about the Rams is them actually having Talib on that side of the ball in the secondary, because you know what I mean? When did I play with Talib? I think I played with Talib my first year, my rookie year. You know what I'm saying? Talib is a real smart dude, real smart player. As ball grade as he comes off, he's real smart when he comes out there to that defense. And You heard Tom. I don't know if you watched Media Day. Tom gave him props, man. I think Tom knows that Tlaib kind of knows how Tom get down. You know what I'm saying? So I think that gives the Rams a little bit of help.
That's exactly what I was going to allude to as well, is that having a guy like Aqib Tlaib out there who, like you said, is pretty familiar with Tom, he can help bring the boys up to speed a little bit as to what Tom likes to do in certain situations. Like, for instance, like me and Sam talked last podcast about last week, Tom Brady, when he got in a third down situation, he would get up to the line and check into the plays that he was comfortable with. And us as knowledgeable people watching the game, we knew where Tom was going. We knew, okay, he's got Gronk lined up outside one-on-one. That's where he's going. He's going to throw the ball there. Or he's got Edelman lined up inside with a favorable matchup. He's going to go there. So you have a guy like Aqib Tlaib that, like you said, is somewhat familiar with it. So you would think that throughout this week, they'll use that against Tom to where they actually know what Tom's going to do, but maybe they'll disguise it a little bit to make it look like they're lost. And he'll be that guy to just be like, here it come, here it come, here it come. And then, you know, they can make a playoff of it. Granted, it's Tom Brady. I mean, what can you really do with him? But
That's what I was going to say. Like, it's tough. It's tough.
I feel like mind games might really give you a bigger hold than you really want, for real.
Exactly. I feel like when it comes to New England, man, just they play so much off percentages. You know, they do everything off percentages. First down, second down, third down. Everything is percentages. Like, that's what they play off of. That's how they play. That's how they base their game plan off percentages. So, if you were, as a team, going against them, I mean – I know other teams have a hard time of going against what they like to do. You know what I'm saying? But that's what New England does. That's what New England is great at. But as a team going against New England, you got to switch it up. You can't do the things that's the norm that you do. That's on paper. You got to switch it up on them because they're going to play percentages.
Yeah, all game. I definitely see that as being a plus for the Rams, because I'm pretty sure Sam will agree with this, is that McVay, to me, is the most creative coach in the NFL. I feel like this is a stage to where he's actually going to get to display that on a different level than what we've seen. We've seen him get creative, faking punts and lining up in different formations and just throwing a lot of stuff at defenses to where you're like, man, they got so many weapons. What can we really do? I think this is his opportunity to actually show everybody how great of a football mind he is, and I think that he'll do a lot of that. But let's jump to our next topic. Tom Brady, as you guys have probably seen, he media day. Well, I don't even think it was media day. It was prior to media day. They interviewed him about obviously his age again, and they said, what are the chances of this being your last game? He says zero. Zero chances of this being his last game. Right. So he's got it set that he's going to play until he's 45. He's currently 41.
Bro,
do you guys think that Tom can play all the way to 45?
I do. He's not saying that he's going to be the best quarterback in the league till he's 45. He's saying he want to play till then. And I mean, I don't see anything showing me that he ain't going to be able to do so. I think he will.
What's your take on that, Aaron?
Listen, man. I talked to this man, I want to say, maybe my rookie, my first or second year in the league. I got drafted in 2013. So 2013, 2014, he told me he was going to play until he was 45.
So he's been saying this.
He's been said that. That's real life. He's told me straight to my face he's gonna play till he's 45 for sure.
Goodness.
And this has been 2014. So this is what
it's crazy to think about it, but at the same time, it's like each year we're expecting Tom Brady to take a step back. But each year Tom Brady is always in the MVP conversation. He's always in the top half of the NFL as far as being a great quarterback or an elite quarterback. I haven't seen him take any steps back that would show me 45. That's, I don't know, Tom. I'm really like, 45? Is that it? Like, can you go a little longer than 45? I think Tom is definitely capable of playing to 45, mostly because his mind, like, he's not, like you said, smart. he's not a guy that's athletic, so he doesn't have to worry about his body breaking down. He doesn't have to worry about taking hits or anything like that. It's literally his mind and his arm. And I don't see any of those two leaving him anytime soon. I just don't.
And if you really want to be honest, he's moving as his athleticism is 10 times better than
I mean. Yeah, I mean, you think of a guy at a typical 41-year-old, you're like, oh, yeah, he probably washed his body, probably broke down by now. But this is a guy who hasn't taken many hits over his career. A guy who's been able to avoid a lot of injury. So he's a healthy guy. He's probably one of the healthiest 41-year-olds that I could probably point to.
Yeah, he has a great team around him, too. Like, his body technicians is crazy, bro. You know what I'm saying? The guys he got working for him and the guys he got working on his body, man. Like,
yeah, it's crazy, man.
It's the crazy. Only thing stopping Tom from playing the 45 at this point, no, it's Tom. Giselle.
Facts on that.
Yeah, the only way is if she step in and be like, all right, now that's it.
Yep, that's the only way, bro. Either that or he just wants to be done, bro. It's all gonna be on him, or like you said,
because I was listening to the interview today where he said he wanted to play till he was 45. He said that's been the goal for him for a while, which you just confirmed by saying he told you that 5-6 years ago, and he didn't sound like he had any other plans besides accomplishing that goal. That's what he sounded like to me, right. So I'm not gonna doubt him at all. I think he definitely plays till 45.
Yeah, that's a fact. Right. So before we get off this football topic, though, me and Sam, we'll give our picks a little later in the episode. But Aaron, before we get out of here, I want to ask you, who is your Super Bowl pick and what's your score? How do you have the Super Bowl playing out?
I'm going to go New England. I'm going to go New England for sure. It's going to be a good game, though. I'm going to go New England. I'm gonna go New England.
Oh, I like
21.
That. I like that. All right, so we're gonna switch gears a little bit, but we'll keep Aaron around a little longer because a lot of y'all may not know. Everybody that knows AD, we know this. We grew up with this guy, so we know he's knowledgeable on a hoop court as well. So we want to get his take on some of this. Okay. Like, I mean, let's just call it what it is. For those who don't know, he was a 2-time All-Stater on the hoop court and a Player of the Year. So that shows you he was really about that on the court. Sam can attest to this.
Ripped my heart out a couple times.
I was just about to get to that. I want to say it was our sophomore year. We went down to play Aaron and them in hoop at South Charleston High. We played for Capital, which was a rival school, and Sam was getting off. I'm talking about going crazy. And here comes the fourth quarter. If I'm not mistaken, Aaron scored 17 straight points in the fourth quarter against us to put us away. And this isn't just a typical team that he beat. This was a Capital team that was ranked in the state, ranked high in the state. I want to say one or two at the time.
I think we were two at the time.
Yeah, we were
number two.
Yeah, we were one of the favorites to win the state championship, and here comes Aaron crushing dreams and taking his team to the state championship. So yeah, he was really about that life on the hoop court. Don't let it fool you that, you know, he's just one of those football players that can hoop. Nah, Aaron was one of those guys that we was like, dang, bro, you really gonna play foot in college? You ain't gonna hoop? Like, he was really that dog on the court. So I say that to say this, man. Anthony Davis has requested a trade. We'll start with Aaron. Do you think that he'll be moved prior to the trade deadline? I believe the deadline is February 7th, I want to say, somewhere around there.
Next Thursday.
Yeah, next Thursday. Do you think he'll be moved before then?
Man, I don't know, bro. I mean, if he requested a trade, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I feel like that's
a
tough
one. If he requested a trade, man, I feel like they should grant him what he want, man. I mean, I know that's a tough decision for the team and the general manager to make, but, I mean, hey, you got to make it happen. I'm pretty sure they'll get deals if they want.
Yeah, go ahead, Sam.
I don't want to sound like a hater or nothing, but it's not happening right now. It makes no sense for the Pelicans to trade him right now when they can wait until the offseason and get a much better deal, even if it still does end up to L.A. Like, right now, basically, the only team going to be bidding is going to be L.A. So it's not going to be much that Magic going to have to give up. And then the indicator to me that they're not going to take that L.A. deal is that the same deal that they y'all going to give up now been on the tables for 6-7 months, man, and they ain't took it. Like, it's what y'all ain't added nothing new to the table.
We added Zubac to the table after he's been showing that he can play a little bit.
He a two-star ass. He ain't nothing like that, man. I'm not saying he's not going to end up in L.A., but it's not going to be before the deadline because it doesn't make any sense for the Pelicans at all for them to do that.
I think that with the Pelicans, it's a lot like what Sam said. I feel like you don't really have much of a reason to trade him prior to the trade deadline. I mean, it's a lot going on right now. I feel like maybe you run the risk of the Lakers looking in a different direction in the offseason and not necessarily bringing in a guy like AD and going more in the direction of signing a guy like Boogie. And then now what are you going to do with your guy? Because you can't receive what the Lakers were going to give you if the Lakers decide to pursue Boogie. So that throws a wrench in. And also, the other team that they're really saying is going to be a factor in the offseason is the Celtics. But I don't think the Celtics can put enough together that'll be ideal to bring in a guy like Anthony Davis, because the point of bringing in Anthony Davis for Boston, I feel like, would be to combine him and Kyrie. Kyrie's a free agent this offseason. So you're going to have to re-sign him. And if you don't re-sign him, you have a guy in Jason Tatum who you're definitely not trading. If you do trade him, you're idiotic. Like, that's stupid. But yeah. I don't see anything happening in this offseason that could help the Pelicans. I'm not saying that
the deals will be better because more teams are bidding. So
I feel like more teams will bid, but more teams can't offer you a lot because there's a lot of free agents this year. So you got to think, like, yeah, they'll try to trade for AD, but what are you really going to get from a team in this offseason? I guess outside of, like, maybe a number one pick, like a draft pick or something, like once they have the draft lottery. But outside of that, I can't see anything being, bigger than what the Lakers are offering you. I mean, I think that right now
somebody might decide to rent them for a year.
I guess that's a possibility, seeing as what happened with Kawhi this offseason. That's not far-fetched. But what are you really going to throw at them in order to rent him for a year? Because, I mean, if you look at a team like Toronto, they had DeMar DeRozan to throw to to the Spurs to get that trade. I can't look at any team right now and be like, you know what, if we pull in AD this year, we can actually be a legit contender. I can't see a team being right there without giving up something that aids them in being a contender. I just can't see. I'm not saying that I feel like the Pelicans should trade him, because if I'm the Pelicans, of course I'm holding on to him. Because like you said, you're hoping that something bigger is going to come. You never know. Somebody might throw together a crazy three-team trade or something to where you pull in assets. But I don't see him being traded prior to the trade deadline, mostly because, I mean, just like Sam said, why? What's the point? There's no point. So I don't know. There is one thing that I wanted to touch on, though, in regards to this. Now, this, hear me out before y'all, get to talking crazy, because I know Sam going to be like, I don't know about that one, bro. But here's a trade scenario that I put together, and I thought that this may be a very good trade. Now, there's been talks out of the Lonzo Ball camp that Lonzo wants to go somewhere where he will be the point guard. He doesn't want to have to go somewhere where he's going to have to share the load. Pelicans already have Drew Holiday. Even though it's been seen and it's been said, Drew Holiday prefers to play with another guard or another point guard, because Drew Holiday has the assets of being a good off-ball guard. He can do that. So I think Lonzo would fit there. But the trade that I put together was this. So LeBron and Anthony Davis both have the same agent. There's also another big star who's been on the trade block who has the same exact agent as them. That player is John Wall. The trade that I put together sends Lonzo Ball to Washington, which Washington will get to couple him with a Brad Beal, who they can now have Brad Beal as the sole offensive focus there. And you have a guy like Lonzo who also, you know, he'll make that team better, I feel like. He'll get the rest of the team involved. So you send Lonzo there. You send John Wall to the Pelicans, have him and Drew Holiday as your backcourt. Also, along with that, the Lakers send Kyle Kuzma to the Pelicans as well. So the Pelicans get John Wall, Kyle Kuzma, and the Lakers divvy up one of their first-round picks, because it's already been said that the Lakers are looking to throw possibly two first-rounders out there. So they can throw one first-rounder to the Pelicans, one first-rounder to the Wizards. Also getting – who else was – I want to say Zubac. You're seeing Zubac as well to Washington. Lakers pull in Anthony Davis, and that's all that they receive. I think all teams win in that particular scenario. I put it into the trade generator, and the only issue was I want to say a couple million dollars or something like that for the Lakers. So the Lakers could move a contract or get rid of a guy to pull in Anthony Davis to make it where that trade will work. What's y'all's take on that? Do y'all see that as being a good trade for all teams?
Yeah, I mean, it will work, but I don't think that the Wizards going to give up no John Wall for Lonzo Ball, though.
I don't know. For one, because you've already seen the Wizards are like, yeah, we're openly shopping this guy. So right there, you're already breaking your rapport with the guy who was supposed to be your franchise player. I feel like they're already on the outs. I feel like when John Wall gets an opportunity, he's gone. He's going to stab out.
So, but the Wizards want to contend. I don't think they're interested in building a super team while getting rid of John Wall.
I don't think that that's necessarily building a super team. I think you get rid of a guy like John Wall. Now you bring in a guy like Lonzo, where you're clearing a lot of money for one. And for two, this is a point guard that you know is going to give you what you need. He's a guy that's you're definitely going to be able to build around him. He's an appealing guy. Guys want to play with him.
The Lakers, he helping build the Lakers with that trade as a super team. I don't think I think the Wizards is cool with giving up John Wall, but I don't think they want to give up John Wall and help the Lakers become a powerhouse.
I don't think that that's too much of a factor, seeing as they're in two different conferences and the trade is likely to happen anyway. So I don't think that they'll really look at it from that point of view, but I can feel what you're saying.
AD ain't getting to LA this year, man.
I mean,
unless y'all throw the house at them. Because they did say that they would definitely take
an overwhelming trade.
Yeah. Offer that blows them away.
I did say that. Aaron, what's your take on this, man? Could you see that being a trade that could possibly pull in Anthony Davis to the Lakers?
Hey, B, I like that. Whenever you were saying that, I was like, dang.
Yeah,
that
man.
That could actually happen for
I that think trade. Everybody would be happy with that because, like I said, in Washington, there's already turmoil. With your current situation, you are not contending. It's just not going to happen. You've seen it year in, year out. So now it's time, okay, let's go in a different direction. You bring in a guy like Lonzo, who may not necessarily give you the instant impact that a John Wall will, but you give him another year, or matter of fact, you put him in that offense right now and let him learn it. By next year in the offseason, there's going to be guys that want to come there now because guys know how how much of a team player Lonzo is, how much better he makes a team because he does not look for his shot. So now you got guys that will be free agents next year. Like, I want to say Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's a free agent next year. Who else? Boogie. Boogie's a free agent next year. You throw that stuff. Boogie would love to play with a point guard that's going to give him the ball, that's going to help him get involved even more without a pass-first point guard. Boogie would be dangerous, but those are just a couple of names. I just think that the Wizards would be in a much better situation grabbing a guy like Lonzo because you're eluding a contract that you don't have to worry about anymore, or a cancer, which people have said that John Wall is in the locker room. I don't know if I believe it, but people are saying that. So you're getting rid of that. You got a guy in Brad Beal to where you feel like, okay, here's your chance. It's your show now. Show us what you really made of. Worst case scenario, you bomb and you get a lottery pick and go grab something crazy next year in this loaded draft.
That's what I was about to say. You think Bradley Beal
Bradley Beal needs another type of point guard. John Wall holding Bradley Beal back, man. I like John Wall's game, but he hold the ball too much for Beal. Beal need a point guard that's going to move the ball.
I mean, hey. So what I'm saying is not outlandish. That's a
I think the trade works as far as like everybody being happy. I just don't think that the Wizards are going to get involved with helping the Lakers get Anthony Davis. That's what I'm saying.
I can feel that. So I guess my next question to you guys is, like Sam said, the Lakers do have the luxury of throwing the house at Anthony Davis, but at this particular point, they haven't quite done that. They've thrown out that they will give – that anybody is accessible, but they're not going to trade three of their assets. So what we've seen so far is Lonzo, Kuzma, Zubac, and draft picks. That's what's been on the table. So – my question to you guys, is this a smart move for the Lakers to move some of these young pieces that they're currently putting into the trade? Sam, we'll start with you. Do you think that this is smart for the Lakers, or do you think that the Lakers should hold on to their pieces?
I think that's the perfect people to be trading is the ones that they got on the block right now. Lonzo, Kuzma, and Zubac, right?
Yeah, that's
perfect. I maybe would throw in George Hart if they was like, if they said, all right, give us Hart and you got him, I would throw in Hart too. But you definitely, I've been seeing a lot of people saying, get rid of Brandon Ingram.
Why not?
Kuzma's a good player, but Anthony Davis is going to be in all the Kuzma spots.
Yes.
Kuzma is Anthony Davis.
He's a poor man version to Anthony Davis. Yeah, he's just I agree.
Anthony Davis is going to be.
Brandon Ingram is a certified wing defender. I think of a Kuzma, like Sam said, I think of a poor man's Anthony Davis. When I think of a Brandon Ingram, I think of best case scenario, Kevin Durant. I don't think he's going to get there, but I think that's the archetype that I'm looking at. I'm looking at a guy like that. He can knock down the three. He can also handle the ball if need be. We've seen that. His rookie year, he played predominantly point guard for the Lakers. So this is a guy who's versatile. He can do it all.
He can defend
and he can shoot.
Yes, and what he's going to do is – allow you to not have LeBron James guard Kevin Durant.
Exactly.
And that's a luxury. You got to have a guy on your roster for LeBron at this point in his career. Like he does not need to be out there chasing around KD.
He's taking up a lot of that slack. A lot of wing players that LeBron would currently have to guard. Brandon, like you said, Brandon Ingram definitely gives the Lakers the luxury of having Bron chill.
Listen, this is how I feel.
I feel the same way, but we've seen time and time again.
He can't do it.
I feel like it.
Hey, you already know where I'm at.
We all three are here with you on that one, man.
That's my problem with him, fam. Because I'm like, bro.
You got to show it.
You calling yourself the GOAT. Like, you literally calling yourself the GOAT.
He liked playing that Warriors team.
You got to do that, dominant
small forward out there. He liked that.
Right.
But I ain't going to sit here and bash Bron, man, because I like Bron. I ain't going to do it, man.
I'm
on board with that.
Yeah, I agree 100%. If you're going to call yourself the GOAT, you definitely have to take that task. It's time now. If nobody else can stop this, you gotta take that problem. It's my turn.
Yeah.
Let me step up and show y'all exactly why I'm the GOAT. But I'm gone on record saying multiple times, LeBron James is not a good on-ball defender. He cannot defend the ball. He's a great help defender. But as far as defending the ball straight up, LeBron's not a guy that's going to go out there and strap you. You can get your rocks off on a guy like LeBron. And I've been saying that for the longest, but that's like Sam said, that having Brandon Ingram on your team actually benefits you in that aspect, to where you can help you can help disguise that a little bit. People don't have to see how vulnerable he is. Now you can throw him in and have him guard a four or something to where you got Brandon Ingram doing what he does out here. But, yeah, I'm definitely on board with keeping Brandon Ingram, Trey, and Kyle Kuzma. I feel like Brandon Ingram is a guy that, excuse me, you're not going to come across him too often.
And even if he doesn't reach his potential on offense, you still got a great wing defender.
Yes, he's a phenomenal defender. Most definitely. Defender. So,
you're right.
Yeah, man, I guess – I don't know. I think that the Lakers, like Sam said, I'm on board with the Lakers moving those particular pieces. Aaron, before we get out of here with you, man, what's your take? Do you think that the Lakers should move those pieces, or do you think that they should add more or take something off the table? You did say that you might want to keep Kuz, but let it.
That was my only thing. Like, I would just. But until, you know what I'm saying, I feel like y'all gave some good points of why you would want to get rid of Kuz and keep Ingram. You know what I'm saying? So that was my only kind of thing was maybe
Kuz over
Ingram. But
let's call it what it is. Me. Kuz is a monster, though. He's a bucket. He's a bucket.
He is.
And I think that is why you trade a guy like Kuz. He's more valuable to another team than a Brandon Ingram is. Right now, if you look at it right now, teams are jumping at Kuzma. Yeah. Teams are definitely going to want Kuzma. And with a team like the Pelicans, bringing a guy like Kuzma, and I'm not saying that, you know, you're in a great position, but you're in a good position, meaning that you've got a guy in Kuzma that can stretch the floor just like Anthony Davis could, and he brings some of those similar things as far as your lineups that you can run.
Sure.
So I think that Kuzma's definitely beneficial for them in that aspect, man. Most definitely.
Or you could just wait until Anthony Davis is a damn free agent.
But see,
and keep him off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you talked about that, but like
But you know what I think is funny though is that all we heard from Magic and LeBron and everybody is this is a process.
Yeah, it's a 4-year thing. Patience, he signed for 4 years because we got it
right. I have not seen anything about this at all. I saw an article the other day that said LeBron's camp wants the Lakers to get rid of Luke Walton. Like, where
I saw
the patience that we was talking about, man. Well, I heard a whole bunch about patience, but I ain't seen a lick of it.
Right.
Yeah, I haven't either. And now that you said that, that's actually 100% factual, because from the moment that you get LeBron to come to LA, what was the first thing we heard? Oh, LeBron and Kawhi in LA. LeBron and Kawhi in LA. Right.
No patience whatsoever.
Right when LeBron gets to LA, that's the first thing you hear. Then after that, you hear, oh, Jimmy Butler's on the trading block. Can he end up in LA? Jimmy Butler doesn't end up in LA. Now all of a sudden, LeBron and Anthony Davis, we got to make it happen. It's right now or never for the Lakers. Like,
y'all was going to limit LeBron's minutes, like all this stuff, like all kinds of stuff that they was talking about. We ain't really seeing none of it, for real.
That's
we
a fact.
We ain't going to stunt the young guys' growth. Like, I don't know.
Now, I knew that was going to be a problem from gate, though, man.
I told you what I feel like y'all going to do, man. Y'all going to try to make a quick fix. And, yeah, y'all might be good for 2-3 years. But like your cousin Brandon said, man, is that what you really want?
But see,
or do you really want to build something? Like, if you're trying to be, everybody wants to chase Golden State, but people forget how Golden State
the process
built.
This
was built. It took years. Like, this wasn't you brought in KD and now they nice. Yeah. Like, no, this team was built through the draft year after year after year.
But
like,
that's I understand and I completely agree, but that's two different situations. The Lakers have a winning culture to where they're not used and out. And for one, with that being the case, with them being down and out, I don't necessarily believe that this is a quick fix. I feel like it may be a quick fix to get Bron a ring before he retires, just to solidify that going to the Lakers was a good idea. I feel like that's the better case. I don't think that quick fix for the Lakers as a whole is the picture here, because a guy like Anthony Davis, we've seen his loyalty. He stayed with the Pelicans. We haven't heard a lick of Anthony Davis saying anything about him wanting to leave New Orleans until right now. So I feel like if the Lakers get their hands on Anthony Davis will be a Laker for years and years and years to come. So with you making this trade, not only is it putting you in a better position right now, this is putting you in a better position moving forward. Because even
what you gonna have around him when Bron leaves?
That's the thing. But that's the thing. If a guy like LeBron decides to leave after the 4 years, it's going to make it an even more appealing destination for free agency, bro. People are going to be free agents. That's not to say that we won't try to trade for somebody, because I could see that being a possibility. You might even see a scenario to where LeBron decides, I want to go back to Cleveland and win me or retire as a Cavalier. You don't know what the Cavs are going to have at that particular time to where the Lakers may be able to get some young assets out of that. Like, you never know how this is going to play out. But I don't see this being a quick fix, for the simple fact that I think Anthony Davis will be a Laker for a while. He's definitely something you can build around, regardless of if LeBron's there at all.
I wasn't necessarily talking about Anthony Davis in particular. I just feel like y'all going to do something that's going to be
detrimental, that's going
to
hurt us.
Super. Yeah, like maybe try and trade all you guys to get the third guy or something. Like, make a move for Dame Lillard. y'all need to do some dumb shit where I'm telling you.
I tell you this.
Magic preached all that patience, and he is not patient.
He's
at
not
all.
Practicing what he's preaching.
Yeah, I can just feel it. Yeah, he's not. I don't know, man. Something just feels off to me. Like, I haven't been worried at all about any of this.
I agree. I mean, I could possibly see us trading, you know, something. But, I mean, when you really think about it, what more are we going to have to trade if we really go out and trade for Anthony Davis? We don't got nothing else to get rid of outside of a Brandon Ingram. And if you can couple something together to get rid of a Brandon Ingram and bring in a guy like Dame Lillard, you're damn right you do it. You damn right, because Dame ain't going nowhere neither. You can build around Dame and AD. I think that Magic is smart enough to where if he does put us in a position to where it's a win now, he's not going to go out and get somebody that's a cancer, somebody that's only going to be here for a couple years and stab out. It's going to be somebody like a Dame Lillard and Anthony Davis who are loyal. I mean, it's simple as that. Magic is a guy who's all about that. We've seen that he's about that loyalty. So,
all right, well, he built one dud roster already. This year's roster is a dud.
I don't think so, bro. I mean, I don't necessarily.
It's LeBron or bust.
It's better than we were last year. He put us in a better position.
Yeah, because you got LeBron. That's the only reason y'all better.
Exactly my point, though. I mean, even without a LeBron, like, this particular roster was going to be the same. So I don't feel like Magic has built a bust roster. It was the exact roster that he had when he got to L.A.
He brought in a whole bunch of people this offseason on 1 year deals, and ain't none of them really.
Oh, whoa.
JaVale
whoa,
McGee.
Whoa.
I'll give you JaVale.
Make him dance. Lance is looking like a stud off the bench. Let's not do that.
Man, he looked like the same Lance to me.
And that's it. And he's an asset. You bring in a guy like Rajon Rondo. He's an asset. You bring these offseason pickups are valuable.
Lance average a hollow 12 points, man.
Like I said, these offseason picks are valuable. But yeah, man, that's let's get out of here real quick. Let's go to commercial break. Aaron, we appreciate you for joining us, bro. We're gonna have you on the show definitely moving forward. Cause I mean the rapport here, I figured it was gonna be bomb since we all knew each other. We all cool and whatnot. So we appreciate you for being on here. Like I said, we're definitely looking forward. We'll try to get you on some more episodes so we can talk a little more. What's up, everybody? We back again. Just now joining us, you did miss a bomb segment that we had with our boy Aaron Dobson. Gave us a little bit of insight on the Super Bowl, and we also talked basketball and whatnot. Definitely a pleasure to have Dob on the show. But Sam, man, let's get into our fan poll of the week. Now, it's been a while since we've done this, but it was only right that we got back to it. Our fan poll of this week was, who is the better scorer, Kevin Durant or James Harden? Now, the reason for this was because we have been seeing so much about Kevin Durant about James Harden and how great of a scorer he is. We've also seen people go as far to call him a greater scorer than Jordan, and how would he fare in a one-on-one game with Jordan and all of that. So Sam said that this was pretty much a perfect pick, and I couldn't agree more. Let's dive right into the results, though. We on Instagram, we had our poll, and the poll was 57% to 43%, excuse me, in Kevin Durant's favor. Kind of surprising to me. I would think that most of the people who are fans are prisoners of the moment. We've said this time in and time out. So that a little bit. Facebook surprised me even more. Fan poll of the week results were 74% to 26% Kevin Durant.
Oh.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So we do actually have some logical thinkers out here. What's your take on this, Sam? Do you agree with our listeners or our followers, should I say?
I do, absolutely. I mean, James Harden is a great scorer, but I mean, there's no way that you can really beat 7 foot that can do basically everything Harden can do. I mean, what can you really say Harden can do that KD can't do?
Nada.
And a whole 6 or 7 inches taller.
That was my point. I was actually talking to one of my friends, Darrell, about this, and I tell him all the time, he's a Kevin Durant hater, and he doesn't want to admit it, but he hates the fact that Kevin Durant went to the Warriors. He called him soft, all of this and all of that. Regardless of how he feels personally about Kevin Durant, you cannot take away from this man his ability on the court. Kevin Durant, like Sam said, he can do everything James Harden can do, plus more. I was explaining to Darrell, take it a step further. Kevin Durant shoots well. Kevin Durant is efficient. Kevin Durant shoots great from the free throw line. Kevin Durant's jump shots really can't be defended. Adding on to all of that stuff that James Harden can do, you throw in the fact that Kevin Durant has a legit post game as well. He's I won't call him dominant in a post, but if you line him up on a post, you put him in a post with the guy, he's most likely going to get a bucket because of his repertoire and what he can and can't do.
He's going to dribble you to a spot
and shoot right over top of you. That's just simple as that. And like Sam said, at 7 foot, with that ability, what can you really do? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I'm even willing to say this is hard for me because everybody knows I'm a Kobe fan. I also love Jordan. Kevin Durant is the best scorer I've ever seen in my life because of everything that he's capable of doing. So I definitely agree with our listeners, and I'm glad that they finally got some sense when it came to James Harden because it was starting to get real ridiculous. Would you agree?
Yeah.
it was ridiculous, man. But yeah, that's our fan poll of the week. But we also this week had our blind resume. Now, our blind resume was also want to touch on that a little bit because me and Sam both we dug this one up and was like, "Oh, I like that one. I like that one." We'll go, let's go Instagram first. First and foremost, I'll go ahead and read the blind resume to you guys because obviously some of you may not know. Blind resume was, resume one, averaged 19.7 points per game. He averaged 5.6 rebounds per game, 3.5 assists per game. He shot 44.5% from the field, one-time NBA champ, one-time NBA Finals MVP, 10-time NBA All-Star, one-time All-NBA second team, three-time All-NBA third team. That's resume one. Now, resume two averaged 17.6 points per game, 5.1 rebounds per game, 3 assists even per game, and he shot 52.1% from the field. He was a 3-time NBA champ, 1-time Finals MVP, 7-time NBA All-Star, and a 2-time All-NBA third team. Now, before we reveal the results and reveal the players, resume 2 is a guy who, as we said, was a 7-time NBA All-Star. Resume 1 was a 10-time NBA All-Star. Resume two, only made the third team, and he made it twice. Resume one made the third team as well, but he made it three times in addition to making second team once. So one can argue that his accolades were a tad bit better. Also, he averaged more points, more rebounds, and more assists. So this, I guess the outcome of this was a little bit surprising to me. Resume 2 on Instagram won this one by a landslide. It was 82% to 20% toward Resume 2. Now on Facebook, Resume 2 won again, but it was a lot closer. It was about a margin of 52% to 48%. So we'll go ahead and reveal these two players now. Sam, Resume 1, which averaged more points per game, was who?
Paul Pierce.
Paul Pierce. Resume 2 was who?
James Worthy.
James Worthy. So Paul Pierce, James Worthy. Sam, do you believe that it would have been this close or more lopsided in the other direction if the people knew the names of these players?
Who won again?
Worthy won on both, but on Facebook it was really close, 52% to 48%.
See, now that's about how I thought it would go. Actually, no, I thought maybe more people would probably pick Worthy, actually. But maybe the people were starting to get the hang of the blind resume.
Yeah, really, it's starting to look that way.
With the names, I probably would have picked James Worthy for sure.
Fact.
But looking at the resume, I probably definitely would have picked Resume 1, considering they both were the best player on one championship team.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have like discounted the other two rings for Worthy, but I wouldn't have like.
They would have had an asterisk beside him.
I wouldn't have counted against Resume 1 that he didn't have the rings, considering they both only had the one Finals MVP. That lets me know that Worthy played on better teams. So, yeah, I mean, I probably would have went with Resume 1 and then been like, damn, I picked Paul Pierce over Worthy. But, yeah, Worthy, I mean, shit, I guess we look at Worthy the way he is because of the rings.
Yeah, that's a fact. I mean, this to me was exactly what you said. Like, I would have went in the direction of, Resume 1, judging off solely what we have written here, because he averaged more points per game. He averaged more rebounds per game. He averaged more assists per game. I feel like the only thing that Resume 2 had over Resume 1 was field goal percentage and the fact that he was a three-time NBA champion, which to me didn't really say much, seeing as, like you said, both of them were responsible for one championship. They both won Finals MVP one time. But, yeah, man, it was kind of surprising to me that Paul Pierce averaged more rebounds in his career than James Worthy. That was pretty surprising, but, I mean, when you really think about it, he played with Kareem, so, I mean, he wasn't going to get too many rebounds, and Magic, so.
Yeah, Worthy seems to be another guy like a Sean Kemp, who time has done a lot for his name.
I agree.
Not saying
I agree.
Worthy was trash or nothing. I know Worthy was definitely not trash, but clearly Paul Pierce was the better player. And, I mean, if you do the eye test too, I mean, if you was taking one-on-one Paul Pierce versus James Worthy, who you taking?
That's kind of tough for me because Worthy was a phenomenal defender. And
he didn't put in the post by the truth.
What?
The truth had that caboose, man.
Wow.
And you couldn't
speed
him up. I think I'm taking Paul Pierce in the close one over Worthy one on one.
Worthy got 2 inches on him, though. Worthy 6'9", 6'10". The truth only 6'7".
So what? I like
Paul Pierce did have 10 pounds on him though. Paul Pierce, 235. James Worthy, 225. I can't see him putting James Worthy in a post, dog.
Paul Pierce had that one-on-one game that was going to be tough to stop because when you get tired, he's still going to be able to get a bucket because he ain't doing nothing but laying on you. Like, you using up all your energy and he just chilling, really. You can't speed him up. You trying to steal the ball. Like I like Paul Pierce in that matchup, man.
I don't know, man. I think
but don't they got James Worthy as like supposedly he like top 50 greatest players of all time, ain't he?
Yeah.
And Paul Pierce, they don't have him on there. And I think I'm about willing to start debating that one.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily dispute you for taking Paul Pierce in that matchup for the simple fact that Worthy was good offensively, but I think Paul Pierce was much better offensively than James Worthy was. But to me, the deciding factor was defensively. I think once James Worthy gets the ball, James Worthy is a very patient guy offensively as well. And he's a guy that I feel like Paul Pierce will have trouble stopping because he's not a guy that would size you up and try to beat you off the dribble. He's going to do the same thing that Paul Pierce would do to him. He's going to put him in a post, and he's going to hit him with some nice post moves, a couple bounces, a nice little hook, or he's going to take you down, bounce you, hit you with some nice up and unders and whatnot. So I think that would be a tough one. I think it would go to the wire, personally. I don't know who I could pick. I don't know who I could pick in that one. I can't definitively pick a winner.
I'm taking the truth because he's hitting threes.
Yeah, he's much more efficient from out there, I would say. But like I said, I don't know. It's a tough one. I wouldn't dispute you for going either way on that one, most definitely. I would love to see that. But, yeah, like you said, Paul Pierce does have an interesting case as to whether he's greater than what people – have him as.
But a lot of people do point to Paul Pierce's playoff struggles. But, I mean, if we're going to do that, then
– there's a lot of people we got to point to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I like Paul Pierce, though.
I do as well. I do. I don't know. I like that one a lot. That was one of my favorite blind resumes. I was like, ooh. I know the two players, so it was like – which way I want to go with it. Like, obviously, I didn't vote, but if I had to, I was like, I don't know which route I want to go with these guys. They're both stellar. But, yeah, man, that pretty much does it for our NBA segment. Let's talk college basketball real quick before we get out of here. Last episode, we talked about Kentucky and whether or not they were peaking at the right time is what I believe I said. But, yeah, they're definitely ascending, and we all agree that they are ascending at this particular moment. The biggest test that I felt like they were going to have, was Kansas, which they played this weekend, and they were able to beat Kansas. Now, to me, Kansas is starting to look a little less powerful than they were earlier in this year. And a lot of that could have to do with the fact that Azubuike's gone for the year now and things of that nature.
How's everything to do with that?
So my question to you is, even with their recent struggles, is Kansas still a legit contender?
No, I'm selling my stock in Kansas.
Because you was high on Kansas this year.
But once I found out they lost Azubuike for the year, I was like, oh, it's over. That was huge. That's their guy in the middle, and that was another offensive guy for them. They played through him a lot on offense. That's a big loss for them. And DeSosa been out too. So, what's-the-name's been their only presence in the paint?
Dietrich Lawson.
And they just got beat again to Texas.
Oh, Texas. Man, I didn't know they lost to Texas.
Yeah, I just watched the game. Texas just knocked them off by 10.
Yeah, so it's looking like things are going downhill for them. And like I said, Kansas was a team that kind of scared me a little bit. I'm not going to lie. As a Duke fan, I'm like, ooh, these guys got something. They got a dominant post game, solid post game, and they've got game manager. They got a game manager, and they've got guys that can score. So,
you know who else changed it for Kentucky, though?
Who?
That Hagans.
Is it?
He's been playing well lately, kind of like how Gilgeous Alexander did last year in conference play, and it's helped transform their team.
See, that's a good thing. With this Kentucky team, I feel like after losing to a team like Duke the way that they did, this was the best possible thing that could have happened for them, is for them to find their identity and get it going right now, because now it's like they came into the season – obviously, with high hopes. Everybody was looking at Kentucky like, oh, Kentucky's going to be the team to beat this year. You're going to have to beat Kentucky. Then they get slapped up, and now they kind of have a motive as to play as good as they are. Like, they've got something to prove now. Early in the season, I felt like they were highly rated, and I wasn't too sure if they should have been that high. And like now, I feel like everybody kind of, after watching them play against Duke, everybody like, oh, yeah, Kentucky not really that good. Yeah, Duke looks good, but Kentucky was overrated. They're not as good as everybody expected them to be. So now, even after losing a couple more after that, people are still, they were discounting Kentucky. And like you said, they're coming on strong right now. They're starting to look like a team that come tournament time, they may not have that high of a seed, and they're going to be a team that you do not want to see. I can guarantee that. But
who, Kentucky?
Yeah.
They could still get a high seed though, man. They number 7 in the country.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, they're good.
They looking real good. Hagen's made them a 10 times better defensive team. The guy I was talking about last game, Reed Travis. Yeah, he played very well on Saturday.
Yes, he did.
But they look like this one might be a tough one for them today against Vandy. I mean, it's only 3-2, but it's rocking. You know, they got their weird ass.
Yeah. That's I'm excited or anxious to see how they will finish out their conference play. I think that they'll finish out toward the top. I'm not sure if they'll actually win the conference, but if they can win the conference and the conference tournament, that's going to be colossal for them heading into the conference or to the NCAA tournament, I feel like. But before we get out of here, let's touch on one more topic, man. There's this stud out there that everybody seems to be infatuated with. He goes by the name of Ja Morant. He is Murray State, right? Murray State is where he's at.
Yep.
He's definitely got the attention of a lot of people. You being a guard and being a sound basketball mind, a stellar basketball mind, how good is Ja Morant?
I must admit, I have not got to catch a whole game of Ja Morant yet. But from the footage I have seen on YouTube and on SportsCenter and all of that, he seems to have the total package. I've seen pull-up jumpers. I've seen a great guy in transition. I've seen a great playmaker. I've seen a great guy in the pick and roll. I've seen him do a lot of different things already. The only thing I would be seeing by watching the real game would just be like what type of decision maker he really is. I think he's going to be a good NBA player, maybe great. If he pans out, then he would be a great NBA player.
I agree. I think that Ja Morant is special, and they're talking about him entering the draft this year, and I've even seen people go as far as to have him as a top 3 pick. I think that's a bit too high, but I think wherever he goes, it's going to be a huge pickup, because when I look at a guy like Ja Morant, he gives me Dame Lillard feels in the aspect of, he's a guy that shouldn't be playing where he's playing. He should definitely be at a bigger school, and his talent should fully be on display with guys that can actually do something with him. Because we've seen, just by his statistics, for those who don't know, he averages 20-plus points, 10-plus assists. He does it all on the court. And he has – I think the thing that makes him most dangerous is, from watching him, he has – a Russell Westbrook mentality as far as attacking the basket. He feels that nobody in front of him can stop him from getting to where he wants to get to. Best thing about him is he's not somebody that forces it as a Russell Westbrook would. So if he actually turns out to be that type of guy, as more of a aggressive scorer that can actually know when to take his shots, I think he's going to be a great NBA player as well. Good at the worst, great at the best. But I think Ja Morant is special. He's a special guy because He's just, I don't know, he's got this rare combination of, I guess, speed and patience. Like, he can get to the cup when he wants to, but he's not like a guy that's, excuse me, like fast, like an out-of-control fast. He's like a quick change of pace type of guy. I like him a lot, and I think he'll definitely be a stud. But, yeah, man, I'm excited to see how he transitions. I definitely want to see them in a him get more TV time as far as Murray State is concerned. But
hopefully they dance.
That would be stellar. I would love to see him dance and see what teams can do to try to stop him. I would love to see him matched up with some of the premier guards in the nation so that we can actually see just how dominant he really can be. But there wouldn't be a doubt in my mind that they danced this year. Crazy thing is he's only a sophomore, I believe.
But the thing about teams like that, about dancing, is regardless of how good they are, we've seen teams like that. I mean, they don't do enough in the non-conference.
You have to win your conference. Yeah, like, if you don't win your conference, you're not in.
You ain't in, yeah. So if they get upset, it's over.
That's a fact. So, yeah, I'd be excited to see them get in. But before we get out of here, man, let's do our Super Bowl picks real quick. Who you got? Well, I know you got. What's your score?
I think we win on a failed Tom Brady drive to close it out. I'm going to go 34-30. St. Louis. I mean, that's when we should have won the last one. Damn it, that's why. LA.
Give me New England. I want to go New England 28-24. I think if the Rams can score 30 plus against New England, they'll win. But I can't see it happening. So I'm going to go, 24-28 is what I said, right? Yeah, 24-28 New England. So I'm excited, man. I can't lie. I haven't been excited for a Super Bowl in a while, but I'm pretty excited for this one. This has the makings to be one of the better Super Bowls that we've had in quite some time. Two teams that were extremely dominant throughout the year that you and maybe a couple of others actually picked to go to the Super Bowl this year, and it's panned out. So I'm excited to see. Most times in the Super Bowl we've seen teams like the Eagles who weren't supposed to be there or nobody had been there with a guy like Nick Foles, and it turned out that, you know, they won it all. So it was more like an underdog story. We've had that occur a lot of the times within these past few years. But this year we've got two teams that are great that are in the Super Bowl. So I'm definitely excited. But yeah, man, that pretty much does it for our episode. Was there anything you want to say before we got up out of here?
Steph Curry, first player to hit 200 or more threes in a season for seven straight years. First player in NBA history. Just more three-point records. And he's creeping into that MVP discussion. You heard it from me here first. So just remember that I've been telling y'all this since about a month ago. Maybe a little longer. Maybe about 6 weeks.
He has been saying that for a while. Yeah, man, I expect to see him shatter just about every three-point record possible. I think it's not going to be close at all. So, yeah, man, I don't have nothing to say before we get out of here. So, yeah, man, appreciate y'all for listening. Appreciate our boy Aaron Dobson for stopping by. Definitely showing love. That's pretty much it, man. Signing out. It's your boy Ish.
And it's your boy Sam. We appreciate y'all.
We out.